Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Ho, ho, ho. We're into December now. This is the second podcast in December, technically, but now it feels Christmassy.
You're actually using that as an intro?
Well, okay, sorry. I'll start again.
No, yeah, you're not. You're sticking with that, surely.
You're going to leave that in, but yeah.
Editors, do not remove that. I want people to know. The people must know.
Ho, ho, ho.
Look, you've got to practice these things. They don't always work right first time.
For a start, you don't just ho, 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 like casually.
Ho, ho, ho. You sounded like Microsoft Sam doing ho, ho, ho there. Ho, ho, ho.
That's bad.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, my God. It's not quite Christmas yet, but I guess now is around the season where...
Like, this is about the most Christmassy I feel.
Santa Claus is available for children to say what kind of stuff they want to get for Christmas.
My kids have both given up.
This is letter writing.
They've given up
season.
On Santa.
They've given up. Oh.
As in, they. My eldest figured it out a long time ago. I remember I told you guys about the Tooth Fairy incident where there was a series of letters being exchanged, and then... My eldest told my youngest there was no Tooth Fairy, but then she started writing her letters as the Tooth Fairy, saying, oh, don't believe her, she's full of shit, you know.
Yeah.
That was a good few years ago. So now they just both don't believe.
Drama. Talking shit behind the Tooth Fairy's back.
Brutal.
That's not cool, man.
My youngest still believed in Santa until very recently, and then I think they figured it out when they asked my wife for something, didn't put it in the Santa letter, and it still magically turned up on Christmas Day, ostensibly from Santa. Spoiler alert for any young people listening to this, Santa isn't real. But they've sort of figured it out now, and the Tooth Fairy as well. So it's kind of a little bit of magic from their youth as
well. Well, there's this tender age where you think you can convince your parents that you do still believe in Santa so that you can continue to get presents.
Exactly, that was clearly their fear.
Shit, if I don't believe in Santa, they're crushed for a moment.
Mm.
But once they've got over it, they're like, rationalize it. They're like, look, we do need to still get presents.
Yeah.
So can I convince my parents that I still believe in Santa? Or at least there's like a group agreement in the house that no one believes in Santa, but Santa does still come.
Yeah.
Just to be sure.
But
whoever
whoever's doing
the Santa stuff, we don't know. We know it's not Santa, but we do still want the pillowcase filled with whatever kids are into these days. Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah. Kids go through kind of a phase where you get to the point where you're like, yeah, Santa Claus doesn't exist and I'm too old to believe in that or whatever. But you're kind of torn because you then sort of realize that your parents have kept this up for your sake for quite some time. So you kind of like feel bad for not believing in it anymore, but you go along with it. And then you sort of hit the age of like, I don't know, like 35, and you're finally like, okay, Mom, that's enough now.
We can't do this anymore.
I cannot keep up this charade any longer. I'm done. But
I don't need any more Barbie dolls and the Christmas socks.
I would like to know what is the oldest that someone's been, like confirmed, scientifically confirmed, and still believing in Santa. I mean, people believe in all kinds of shit. I just wonder if anybody out there, if they were like, yeah, believe it or not, I was 17 when I finally realized Santa wasn't real. You know, there must be some innocents out there who just believe everything.
I don't know if anyone really believes in him, though. Like, truly, truly believes. Like, even think back to when you were a kid. Did you really even think about it that much? Like, I didn't really. I was just like...
It was just one of those things that was told
to
you.
It's just one of those things that you were kind of like, Santa's coming.
Because you were being taught loads of stuff. When you're a kid, you're like a super sponge just absorbing everything, right? And everyone's telling you that Santa's real. So you're like, okay. I mean, you know, you don't have a rational mind.
No.
But I like where you're going with this because people I mean, we should bring back... I'm surprised there's not some big conspiracy theory out there who still believe that Santa's real.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking.
You know why like, there isn't, like, though? It's because there's just bigger conspiracy theories that are more interesting to believe in, right? Like,
I guess they're more grown up.
Flat Earth and...
The Santa one's old. You've known about that
Bush and 9/11 and all that kind of stuff. You know, people focus on that stuff more so than Santa
Claus. I've been pushing my kids to believe in the Babadook.
Right.
I'm telling them that's real. I don't even know what it is. I just know it's a horror movie. So right. I've replaced Santa with the Babadook.
Nice.
So they definitely don't want Santa to come. They definitely don't
the
want any presents.
I don't know. I just thought it sounded spooky.
It's terrifying.
Oh. I've slowly started upgrading the inside of my house in preparation for a home invasion, which hopefully will just never happen, right? But I want my kids to believe that there's going to be a home invasion. And so I've replaced all the doors with like steel doors with like slots. So, you know, like if you're trying to get into another room, you have to open up the slot and say, like, what's the password and stuff. And then you can let them in and all that sort of stuff. So, like,
right.
I feel like
to an escape room.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm turning my house into like a bit of an escape room.
These are both horror scenarios.
The reason I'm doing this is because
why are you two doing this?
Because it's so hard for them to believe in stuff. But I feel like, you know, if I make really substantial changes to the house and to their quality of life, then they have no choice. They have to believe it, right? So it kind of like Flax with his Baba Ganoush or whatever. He's trying to
Baba Ganoush.
He's trying to convince of it. I'm trying to prepare my kids for a very real threat. Although let's face it, it's probably not going to happen. Let's hope it doesn't happen. Realistically,
not, I mean, but, Jersey, I'd say it's unlikely.
But still, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, a friend of mine that lived in South Africa had a home invasion.
Apparently in South Africa that is a thing. Like,
yeah,
absolutely. I've known people who have come from South Africa, like lived and worked here, gone back, stayed for like a year or two, and then come back here again because it's that bad. Like,
yeah,
in school they actually
rough,
teach you
yeah.
how to cope with a home invasion and stuff. Like, it's
so that they were home invaded. I mean, that for one thing, they have sort of cages around the bedroom area.
Yeah.
So that corridor leading to the bedrooms will have a big steel door that you lock at night, so that if people do get in, they'll take all the stuff downstairs, but they won't be able to get to you upstairs. I think it's like a panic room. Yeah, like that. But for the whole bedroom part of the house.
Jeez.
So they had some people around to do some work during the day. And one of the guys sort of snuck back after dark and moved a bunch of the stuff nearer to a window.
Oh, my gosh.
So that they could then just bust open a window and take stuff.
And climb in.
Yeah. So they heard them down there. Like, he came back with his mates. He was like, look, we'll just go in through the window and take all this stuff. So as they're there, my friend hears him. He used to be in the military in South Africa. He comes downstairs with his gun, and they all leg it. And he steps out onto the front porch, and they're all just there, like three or four guys. And he points his gun. He says, hold still so I can shoot you. And that put the wind up them, and they legged it. Because that is a pretty terrifying thing to say to someone. Okay, just one of you just hold there so I can shoot you. And they all just took to the hills and legged it.
That's one of those great, weird things to say that puts people on edge. That's one of those things that you're supposed to say something unexpected that, like, that will just freak them out.
Yeah, right? I think it would. I mean, if you shout freeze or stick them up, that's like too movie.
Yeah.
If you make it personal.
I mean, they won't do anything if you shout
if you just say hold still so
shoot,
I can shoot.
Shoot first and ask questions later. But, like, don't shoot the person, make sure you shoot like the wall next to them, and then they know you mean business, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. Shoot in,
if
up
I remember
in the air.
Rightly, if you're trying to plead self-defense and you shoot someone in the leg and then stop shooting, it's actually harder to prove self-defense because they're like, did you really think your life was in danger? You took the time to aim at their leg? You're better off just blazing away and
just
killing
blasting,
them and just being like, I was terrified. I thought it was about
reaction.
To die.
Yeah. Well, there's some top tips for legally defending yourself.
This is the, but if I've heard of this though.
This
like,
is what, this is what the valuable stuff that you learn on the Trifles podcast.
I've heard that this is kind of like something that can happen in South Africa. Like I said, I've worked with people who have had similar experiences. Yeah. Well,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but it's just.
There is certainly a fear that if you did defend your home with a gun in England, you're going to be the one going to prison, though.
There was that guy, like, ages ago. What was his name again? He remember
Bilbo Baggins.
About this recently.
He was he killed a guy, right?
I thought it was kids. I thought it was some kids that kept breaking into the farm.
It was some kids, yeah. But then one of them, I think, was in his house at one point.
Oh yeah, they broke into the house,
and he shot him dead. And it was that whole thing. This must have been like 2003, 2004, or something. I can't remember his name now, but I remember at the time
Tony,
it was all like
Tony something.
Yeah, everybody was crying over like vigilante justice and everything. I think in the end, I don't think he. Or maybe he was charged with
get in trouble.
He did something, manslaughter. It was a big thing in the tabloids saying.
Yeah, yeah. It was big at the
some
time.
Some sort of circumstances around it. I think the guy was unarmed.
He was.
As well,
but the key is that we don't consider a human life less valuable than property. That's the key. Like defense of property and taking a life in defense of property is not a thing in this country.
No.
It's just not.
No.
Whereas in, say, I think Texas and a bunch of other places in America, if someone's trying to steal your TV, you can shoot them dead. And it's like, oh, it's defending my property. Now, to me, that television is worth less definitively and objectively and in every other way than a human life.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't raccoons. You can't right. just like... You
the
know,
thing
you
is, though, like at the time in the situation...
Bring those nuts back here.
I mean, there's not... Again, like you were saying before, you're not going to like... You don't have the time to like aim at a leg or whatever in self-defense or whatever. If somebody's in your house, even if all they're doing is stealing your TV... You don't know that, and you're worried
exactly.
at the time.
Yeah,
you've got kids
true.
In your house, your wife or husband or whatever. You know, you think that there is imminent danger facing them, right? So you're going to do irrational things at that
right.
point.
Did I tell you what happened last week with the police that came around to my house?
No.
I don't know, it's been a busy week because it's the first week of Jingle Jam. I've been very busy, but a couple of nights ago, I heard like the buzzer go, because we've got like... a buzzer thing on our apartment building.
A doorbell, and, I think they call it. But yeah.
Well, no, it's like a buzzer to the building, and yeah, then I've got a flat in the building. So it's like the outer door. And sometimes that rings anyway, right? And so I was like not super surprised that it went off. And I looked at my clock and it was like 3:45 in the morning. I was like, my God, that's like the most...
Yeah, that's a weird time.
Right, that's a really weird time for it to go off. And so I sort of sat there for a minute. I didn't answer it. I was like... It's probably nothing. So I put my dressing gown on anyway and went downstairs. And yeah, lo and behold, 10 minutes later, there's like a banging on my door, which has never happened, you know, because it's like a bit of a maze, this apartment complex I live in. So it's quite hard to find
right.
Where I am, which is nice. It's quite comforting, actually, to have that. And then
you like living in a
so
maze.
I go up to the peephole right. and obviously I look through the peephole and it's dark and I'm like, okay, that's a bit weird. But then I realize it's another guy looking through the peephole.
Oh my
me.
God.
Jeez.
And so he sort of backs off and I look into the corridor and it's these two policemen in like full police gear.
Jesus.
Right.
At the back of my mind, I was like, are these people just dressed up as policemen? Because that's what goes through your mind for some reason. Right. And so I open the door and I'm like, hello. And they're like, hi, is your name, like, whatever the name they said. I think
is your
like,
name Dick Dastardly?
Is your name Daniel Garvey or something like that?
Right.
And I was like, no, my name's Lewis Brindley.
Of the Yogscast.
And they're like, is there someone, well, because it was like a name that was like, da-da-da-da. So it was like, the same cadence as my name. So for some reason, I was like, oh, no, it's not Daniel Garvey, it's Lewis Brindley, right? So, and so,
you can't
for some
be
reason,
normal,
I don't,
can you?
I've just woken up. I'm in a weird state already, and there's weird shit going through my head.
Where is your mind coming up with this stuff? Like,
I don't know. Okay,
did you sing it?
Anyway,
my name's not Daniel Garvey.
I didn't.
It's Lewis Brindley. It's very early
it, but
to
in
be
my head,
calling at
like,
my house. Calling
I was like,
at
the
my house.
The rhyme is there. The cadence right. works, but. Well, I think it was the night before Jingle Jam, so I'd been writing that fucking poem as well. anyway, I was in a rhyming mood, and so it bloody so they like, you know, they went through this series of questions. They were like, "Does anyone of that person name live here?" I was like, "No," and they were like, "Do you know anyone called that?" And I'm like, "No," and he's like, "Is there any reason that we would have, you know, someone would have called us out here at this time?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't think so." They were like, did we wake you up? And I was like, yes. So sort of, I don't know why I kind of like sighed. I was like, yeah, you did. It was a weird, I felt weird saying it like that. But then they were like, have you got any ID? And I was like,
Yeah, I have. Because I was kind of getting tired of this conversation by now. Because I've been through like
a minute. I definitely think
you want some advice, Lewis?
Being shitty to the police is going to help.
I wasn't being shitty on purpose. I was being shitty by accident. I think I'd probably been asleep for about an hour at this point.
Oh, that's the worst though, when you get woken up after an hour of sleep.
Because I'd had a like really late night, but I'd had a lot of stuff to do before Jingle Jam started. And I was like, I was looking forward to not having to deal with this. And so obviously my heart's beating as well, because you know, it's like the police are right there looking all threatening kind of in your corridor and staring through your peephole and stuff.
Yeah.
Banging on your door.
That's as far as they would have gotten with me. I would have had that whole conversation through the door. Yelling at them the whole time.
Really?
What do you want, pigs? Yeah, I would
have. No one in here with that name! Get going!
I would have never opened the door. I would have been like, come back with the search warrant, you pigs, and well, where's my lawyer, and all that kind of stuff. There's no way I'd open
up
the
door. That's definitely how you de-escalate that situation.
I was not escalating when I was sighing at them. I was just like...
Just passively. Often,
I was almost
once they
like
get you
sad
into conversation, next thing they're like, you did it, didn't you? And you're like, oh, maybe.
I was sad that I wasn't Daniel Garvey and that I couldn't help him out.
Did they find Dana Garvey?
No, so they weren't looking for that. They said that someone called like Mildred or someone had called.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anyone called Mildred who lives here? I was like, I don't think so. Like, do you know what I mean? There's like other names being thrown around. And I'm like, I didn't recognize. I don't know anyone.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. Mildred is an old lady. Just a wild guess. Mildred.
Nobody names a recent child Mildred. That
it's
is
very
a
rare.
Antiquated
well,
name.
Well, I suppose, yeah. And then anyway, so then they were like, can you get your ID? So I was like, all right. So then I sort of propped the door open with a shoe. So it didn't slam in their face, you know, because I thought that would be a bad thing.
Jeez.
To do.
And then when you came back, they were just like sort of idling around in your landing, just like looking at stuff.
Well, I think they were antsy to get off and see, because I think they felt like that this was the wrong address, and they were, because I think they were chatting on the radio. Mm. They were trying to find out if it was a different house number, like, you know, because it could have been like a slightly different house number in the same place or whatever. So yeah, do you know what I mean? It's I don't know what they wanted anyway, and they left, and I went straight back to sleep, and I was fine. I didn't worry about it. I thought because I went up to bed, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to get sleep now. I wonder if I should like read a book or something, but no, I just collapsed. I was obviously that tired.
Right. So. After but your
I was having that
confrontation
I was almost annoyed, because when I was talking to them, I was thinking, fuck, my heart's pounding, I'm not gonna be able to get sleep for hours now. You know, I was almost not angry, but like frustrated that this had kind of decided to happen. Mm. Anyway, that's my story. What happened?
That's my story.
A weird moment.
Gotta add that one to the autobiography.
I've had the police turn up at my door a few times, weirdly, over
Never
the last
had
like
Never
four
had
or five years.
I've always wanted them to.
I had to phone the police one time.
Yeah, I've had to call them a few times.
I had to phone them, and this disappointed me greatly, actually. I had to phone them because I could hear somebody getting what sounded like he was being stabbed outside. Like, it was really fucking rough. There was screaming. I could hear like him getting slammed into like the door of my like building and stuff. Like, it was really bad. So I phoned the police. I was like, listen, somebody's like having a rough time outside. It sounds like there's like a fight or something, but like it's pretty bad. Like, you might want to send somebody down here. And they're like, okay, yeah, we'll send somebody down straight away. Thank you very much. And I was like, okay, no problem. And then, you know, we're looking out the window, but not like really looking out the window, because I didn't want anyone to look up and see that we were like looking out the window.
Right.
That kind of stuff. And, you know, we saw the police come, and they...
You don't want them to like turn to you and be like...
Yeah,
who's
yeah.
Who's looking out of a window?
Yeah, I don't want to be involved. Like, you know, if somebody's getting hurt, obviously, like, I'll do my bit, but like, I don't want to be
You don't want to attract
involved.
The attention of the guy.
I don't want any
knife.
Anything to come back on me or whatever.
Sure.
So I'm watching from the window, and the police turn up, and they, you know, they sort out the situation or whatever. And then we're like, okay, cool. Like, just went back to like watching TV or whatever. And all of a sudden there's a knock on my door. I'm like, what the fuck? So I go and answer the door, and it's the fucking police. And they're like, did you phone the police? I was like, yeah, like, and they're like, oh, can you tell us this? It's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, why are you fucking knocking on my door right after this has happened? Like, I don't want anyone to know that I phoned you. Like, what's, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to forget. This is, I don't
just fucking
be the snitch.
Phone me tomorrow or something, but like, don't fucking turn up. Like, it just, and knock on the door. Like, it's just, I don't know why they do that. It's just kind of dumb.
You think the knife man has like got a co-conspirator and he's like, that fucking rat called the police.
You fucking never know, right? Like, I mean, if somebody's out there like beating somebody up, I mean, they're not rational people to begin with. So, like, I don't want to fuel the fire.
Job to check, like, with the people that live around the area, like, if they saw anything and what the story is.
They got to take a statement,
you know, because you might know loads of information. You might have seen guys be hanging around for weeks or turning up or fighting. You might know the guy personally.
Yeah,
you know.
But like, I mean,
they need to check it.
Don't knock on my door like 5 seconds after the fact, like in your full uniform and stuff. Like, maybe, you know, come over the next day like incognito, like dressed as a plumber or something. Like, geez, I don't know. I just thought it was like a bit weird, you know. Like, I just thought, well, you know, okay, thanks for like painting a massive target on my
you
apartment.
You know what,
Jim Timmy
movies, it's not like the mafia is outside there. Hey, that's the guy. I
know that that's not the case, clearly. But at the same time,
that goes through your head, right?
Yeah. How can you be 100% sure that somebody isn't like paying attention to this stuff and maybe is thinking like, this fucking guy, like,
it's not worth the risk,
or you know, yeah, this guy saw something that he shouldn't have or something. It's not really worth the risk at all, right? And for such a simple thing, like, just fucking phone me tomorrow or something. I don't know.
I know, but life is full of like tiny, tiny percent chances.
Yeah, yeah. I get
you
that.
You have to. You can't go through your life trying to mitigate.
I don't want this to turn into another thing like, I'm insane for thinking this, because I think this is perfectly legitimate things to think about.
But at the same time, if you try and, you know, like, I always have this stupid risk in the sphere in the back of my mind that if I do a, I don't know, if we do a live event, someone's gonna stab me or something, you know, or like, if I talk about the police coming to my door, someone's gonna find out where I live, right? Because, you know, that is a danger. We know YouTubers who've had home invasions, and we know people who've been attacked at events or, you know, killed. Well, we don't know people who've been killed, but we know of people in our industry who've been.
I mean, even attacks and well, like, further to that, killings are very rare, though. Like,
yeah,
they barely ever happen.
But I think that we go through life, you know, having these constant little worries and anxieties, and everyone's got their own ones. And it's amazing to sometimes find out what other people's are, because sometimes they're tiny percent chances. And then when you hear them, you're like, actually, yeah, I suppose you've got a point, Sips. There is a percent chance, but it would have never bothered me.
Yeah.
I think some people couldn't wait to talk to the police. A different person, Sips, might have run out onto the street and gotten involved in that.
Oh,
argument,
my God.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't understand how people are like that. Like, I don't understand how anybody wants to get involved in something that is very little to do with them. You know what I mean? Like,
well, but at the same time, I think that, for example, there was this event that happened in China recently where there was the British ambassador there. He saw someone, I think, fall in a canal or a lake or something.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, there, because
were
no one
you close
in,
by at the time or.
No one, apparently the locals were not willing to help because they didn't want to either put themselves, or apparently it's a cultural thing, but also it's a thing. I'm sure a similar thing would have happened here. Like the paralysis when everyone thinks it's someone else's responsibility, right?
I love
it's like, there's loads of other people around here. Someone else is going to
do it. I love how
it.
You're creating this tale like it happened in China when, you know, it happened in Bristol city center.
Oh my God.
You're just trying to like move the sort of scene of the crime far away from you. It's like a game of Among Us. Where were you? I wasn't even on the map. You know what I mean? Like you're saying that like you're trying to put yourself somewhere else, or you're trying to put like the events somewhere else. But
and the police were calling.
We know what you're up to.
The other night,
we've known all along.
A British diplomat leapt into a river to save a drowning woman. And critics on social media asked why so many Chinese people just seem to be just watching. But it is a thing where everyone thinks, "This I'm not going to do anything because there's loads of people here." And sometimes what you get is like an accident. And no one calls the police.
No, yeah.
And everyone thinks
you'll
someone
find
else
that
is
in places where there is like a heavy influence of like organized crime or if there's not organized crime, it's like some form of oppressive government or whatever. And it's understandable. Oh. Nobody wants to get involved.
Well, that's
nobody wants to get involved because nobody wants to have to deal with the people who are then going to be involved.
There's a difference, though, between being scared and just the psychological trap of assuming someone else will do it.
Yeah, I doubt it's much of that, because I think for the most part, like, people will be helpful in a situation like that. If you saw a car crash right in front of you, you would jump out and you'd be on the phone and you would just be like not getting massively involved, but you'd be concerned, right? Like you would stop and do
I love
stuff.
This. I love this. It's always a caveat.
No. I'm just saying, okay.
Right in front of you, he leaps out to save the day. Like,
but you can't touch somebody who's just been in Captain a car crash. America. You don't know. You might paralyze them or something. If
oh yeah,
you know, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to get in there and like hoist them out. I mean, if the car is burning, you might like pull them out of there or something. But like, I'm just saying, you have to have like some restraint.
Captain America, kind of, he gets out of his car. He's just like, he gets on his phone. He's like, shall I call the police?
Well, no, yeah, I mean, okay.
I'll do it.
All right. In this scenario, a car crash happens right in front of you. 100%, I would be on my phone straight away. I'd be on my phone to the emergency services as I got out of my car, as I was opening the door to my car. I've thought about this before. Okay, I'm just saying.
Right.
It's good to run through this stuff in your mind, because when you get to the situation, you might react differently to how you.
No. I've thought about this enough times now. I'm like training myself in the eventuality. I'd walk up to the car while still on the phone with the emergency services, and then I'd be able to relay crucial information back to them, right? Like, I'd be able to say,
okay,
yeah, man, mid-30s, appears unconscious. No, I can't see his chest moving or whatever. You know, like I'd relay all the information. And while I was on the phone, I would be making
the details of this scenario.
I know. Like I said, I thought about it.
Amazing.
I would be making facial expressions towards, if the person was conscious, like inside the wrecked car, I would be making facial expressions like, don't worry,
sticking
buddy.
Sticking your tongue out, or oh,
I'm no, on you're, the you're, phone okay. with the emergency
the
services
my
here. They're
car
on their
is
way.
Fine. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I'd be doing all that kind of stuff. And then when I was done with the emergency services, that's when I'd go into nurturing mode with the person who's in the car, right? I'd say, don't worry. The emergency services are on their way. I'm kind of late for an appointment, but it's okay. I'll stay here with you. Let's get through this.
Just a tiny little bit of guilt you've added there to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on.
Just to let them know, let them be grateful. You know, it's not all about them.
Yeah, there's in any situation,
here's
there's
my
a little
address,
bit of
if you
want
to send me flowers or something to say thank you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love that. And what about, okay, so you've come up with these kind of scenarios for... for example, imagine the house next door to yours is on fire.
Yeah.
And the flames are going crazy. It's looking like it's going to catch onto your roof.
Right.
You go outside, because you smell smoke, you go outside, you're like, where's that smoke coming from? You look around the side of your house, there's a fire. It's out of control.
Right.
It's spread into your house. What do you do? It's 3:45 a.m. You're in your slippers and dressing gown. Otherwise, you're naked.
I would probably, again, be on the phone with the emergency services. If it was just a small fire, I think I would probably take a fire blanket outside with me while I was on the phone with the emergency services and try to get that sucker under control.
No, I think it's a house that's on fire. It's not a person.
Yeah, no. The next door neighbor's house is on fire, from what I understand. But a small bit of fire has spread over to my house.
Right, but
just a small amount.
Generally, it'll spread on the roof, like... I've seen a house
roof
fire.
Of your house is
I've
now
seen a few
fire.
House fires, actually.
Oh, if it's on the roof, I would just leave it. And I would just be, I'd get my family out of the house and I would just phone the emergency services.
I thought you were going to say go back to bed.
No. Come on.
It's
realistically,
just a little bit of fire on the house. That'll...
No. I would get everybody out of the house. I'd come into the garage and get Terry, make them stand across the road. While I was on the phone with the emergency services.
I love this. The family and Terry. That's it.
Well,
there's no grabbing a passport or anything like that. There's no
Do you guys own a fire extinguisher?
Yeah, I've got an extinguisher in my kitchen and I've got a fire blanket as well.
So what I've always thought is
and
like,
I've got fire alarms in every room of the house as well.
Same. I mean, and ours are like, because when you have fire alarms fitted now, they're hardwired. They have to be hardwired so they don't ever run out of battery. Which is obviously, you know, a big problem is people's smoke alarm running out of battery. It starts to beep.
You get the warning. I've still got battery ones, but you.
I'm just saying.
You get the warning beeps when the battery's running
right,
out.
Right, but here's the problem. Some people, when the warning beeps start happening, just take the battery out and put it to one side and be like, we'll get that. I'll pop the shot. We'll get it. So the fact is that by having them hardwired onto the house power, you've got permanent sort of safety.
Yeah, but the house, I guess, yeah, not all, not everything's going to trip
now.
In the
house. Yeah,
it's a new thing, like where you have to have them like that because people just don't fucking have batteries. Like the only thing I use batteries for is a remote control and maybe some like controllers. I think like very. I can't really think of many other occasions I need batteries. So people just don't have them in their house, so they get to change the smoke detector.
Man, poor,
like, oh, I don't
poor
have
Kodak.
Fucking...
I mean, first digital cameras fucked them over, and now nobody's using batteries? What the fuck are they going to do?
Kodak never made batteries.
Yeah, that's all they make now.
Kodak?
Yeah. Is it? That's all that's left of them.
Really?
Yeah.
They make. When did they ever make batteries?
They always have. I think they had their own brand of batteries for when cameras were like, you know, a thing.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't think they were like a famous battery manufacturer.
Yeah, I've never heard of Kodak.
They're
batteries.
Not, but they don't. Like film and
look
stuff.
Look at that. They do make batteries. Yeah. How about that?
So another big blow to Kodak is what you guys are trying to say to me. Unbelievable.
Kodak, didn't they have like a massive boom recently after they announced something weird?
Batteries.
There was something happened recently.
Yeah, they were doing a really aggressive push into the battery market. I think that was it.
No, they had like, look at that. In June, so they went, their stock was at $2 and it went to 29, 30, went to 33.
Jeez.
Their stock went 10 times higher in 2020, but then it's back down kind of where it
was. Oh, so the Trump administration announced that it planned to give Kodak a $765 million loan for manufacturing ingredients used in pharmaceuticals in order to rebuild the national stockpile depleted by the COVID-19 pandemic and reduce dependency on foreign factories. So because they're getting this huge pile of money the day before. Oh, here we go. Within 2 days, the company's stock price had gained as much as 2,189% from its price at the close of July 27th.
Yeah.
The New York Times reported that one day before the White House announced the loan, Kodak CEO Jim Continenza was given 1.75 million stock options, some of which he was able to execute immediately. Suspicious.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's all of that. Stocks, everything.
Any of that stuff.
It's always.
Yeah, I thought I remembered something about Kodak. Weird that pops up in our heads.
Yeah, I don't know why is Kodak being given money for that? Of all the companies that could probably do a better job of that, why Kodak?
I guess they make this particular chemical that they need.
Oh, what you mean? Maybe they just like used. Are used to making it for
whatever it is that they
whatever
need,
they
that,
used
that's
to do
thing
or
that
something.
They make. Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
So they got the contract.
Well, there was a thing, wasn't there? Was it Kodak? I think back in the war, they knew about the bombs going off, but were told to keep it secret because the radiation from the Manhattan Project had gone into all of the forests and the trees and the rivers along where they cut all of their paper that they put their films in, their photographic film,
right.
And it was making them all spotty.
Oh, wow.
And so they knew about the radiation, and they were going to make it, they were sort of going to be public about it, and I think the government had to come in and say, be quiet, and they were quiet about it for a long, long time. They had to find, like, some pure trees that were not contaminated.
Gosh.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? I think that's Kodak, anyway. So anyway, we got a sponsor this week on the Triforce podcast. Very proudly, thank you very much. This is the only funding way we have.
Oh,
this
good.
Podcast.
Again.
It is, yes, that's how we're making expressvpn.com/Triforce right now. You can arm yourself with 3 months extra free of ExpressVPN. You should definitely check it out if you don't use it.
You know what? Look, it's actually kind of ties into this episode. You don't want your internet and your computer being invaded any more than you want your home
being
invaded.
You don't want a network invasion, do you?
So get a VPN, baby. It's the equivalent to a metal door outside your bedroom.
With a slot for password exchange as well.
People's, honestly, like even like high profile folks get sort of attacked online and lose their personal information.
Really?
Well, I mean, Elon Musk and Kanye got hacked, didn't they? And Joe Biden got hacked. A couple of his accounts got hacked.
Yeah, but come on, so let's face it. Joe Biden's not actually using Twitter himself, right?
Well, if he was, maybe he should, you know. Apparently, I read this as well, hackers can make like £1,000 from selling one person's personal information on the dark web. Is that might be, there's a citation needed on that.
But you're scaring me now, though.
I know. Well, look, I think your personal information will be worth more than that, right?
I don't know.
So you want to keep that.
I mean,
that safe. Anyway, we're sponsored. It's a really easy app to use. It's like one click. It's really quick. You don't even notice you're using it. I use expressvpn.com/triforce. Please check it out. It's our sponsor.
There you go.
expressvpn.com/triforce. Obviously, some of you have signed up, which is why they're still sponsoring us. Thank you for doing
that.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting Triforce Podcast. Right, what else do we want to talk about today?
Oh, I watched a video about this guy who's developed a hack. It's he can walk around with his laptop. He runs this program and this little bit of hardware. He can take control of any iPhones within Wi-Fi range of his laptop. I thought it was pretty scary.
Right. And right.
It just made me realize.
What kind of stuff does he do with it?
Well, he's a white hat hacker, not a bad guy hacker. So he's one of those guys who's like, hey, look at this fascinating security flaw you should definitely fix. You know, it's like there's a whole bunch of people out there whose entire job is finding problems with code because life is so complex. And on top of that, life being complex, computers are also very complex. The people that put them together often make mistakes and leave holes. And I just thought it was quite interesting that this guy found this exploit. And it's just, thank goodness one of the good guys found it. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know what I'd be interested to see, though? Like, if somebody ever accessed somebody's personal data, like a famous person, right? Mm-hmm. Say
you
got
mean like when that happened? Like when all those, the Apple
but I want to see, I want somebody's famous Twitter account to be hacked and then all of their DMs leaked because I want to see at a high level how often they're ghosted by people compared to me. You know what I mean? Like I want to see the comparison. I want to see like the ratio of reaching out and then ghosted as opposed to like a lower level Twitter account. You know what I mean?
So when you mean ghosted, do you mean they
someone
are
not
the last
responding.
One to
yeah,
send
yeah, somebody
a
just never responds to what you've sent them.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder, like, yeah, I feel like mine is probably about 50-50. I try and get the last word in.
Right.
When I have a conversation with someone. I don't like...
Is that a power play on your part? Or
no, but it just feels... I don't know. It's in my head, it's like almost polite. Show that I'm...
I find now with like the reaction thing, you can at least... If you don't want to type out words, you can just do like a thumbs up to their last message or something.
Right.
You know, to get the last word.
Right. But then they can give a thumbs up to that.
Okay,
my,
but
my
sure.
question is, if someone emails me and they ask a question and I give an answer and they say thank you, do I have to email back you're welcome?
Like, no.
At what point is it acceptable for me to just say this conversation is over?
I think when somebody like responds back with a very informal one-liner that just says, okay, great, thanks, or whatever, that's
you
the
think
end of the
they're
conversation.
Cool. That's it, conversation
that's it.
Over.
Yeah, that's them sort of wanting to just get in that final, okay, this is that's a wrap. You know what I mean?
Okay. I just wonder,
that's how
I
operate. No. That's how I operate.
Exactly on this topic, I read an article last week, which blew my fucking mind because I thought it was like an Onion article or like something that my mum had been emailing around.
Right.
But apparently, and this may be an April Fool or something, in the UK, people send a lot of completely unnecessary emails, like that useless thank you message some overly polite people simply can't not send. Okay. That's literally what this quote is, right, from this article. I feel like that thank you, overly polite thank you message is not wholly useless or wholly unnecessary. I think it's part of everyday conversation. And after all, how much energy does an email use? Okay. I don't think very much.
Right.
But apparently, if all of those shit emails, which people send per week, so apparently 10, I send way more than 10 shit emails a week.
Right.
I send hundreds of shit emails a week, right? But apparently, if everyone in the UK didn't send those 10 shit emails a week, that is the equivalent to 82,000 flights from London Heathrow Airport to Madrid.
Fuck off.
Or
no,
the
it's
use
not.
Of 3,500 cars a year.
No, it's
apparently
not.
Apparently it is. Apparently a ton, apparently each email is 0.000001 ton of CO2, right? And then if you make those 10 emails a week, that's 64 million unneeded emails a day.
They're not generating this on their own. It's just stupid. That stuff is there already. That stuff isn't there because they're having trouble with people sending emails. It's just that is the worst.
No one is sitting in a power plant
I've ever heard.
In a coal power plant saying, "Quick, Steve, shove more coal in.
They won't stop.
Bristol's sending another
so
thank you
many
email.
Thank yous.
Quickly." Do you know what I mean? Like, no, you're right. Like, the internet is turned on.
Yes. Like, not like the servers that handle emails are idle and no power is consumed. Unless an email comes down, suddenly there's a huge spike. Email. No, these fucking things are running 24/7. The idea email somehow is sucking all this
power.
They're not even
close to being at capacity either, because you have to like over budget for stuff, right? Like server farms, storage, all that kind of stuff. There's plenty of it just sitting there unused because it has to, right? Because
that's a stupid story.
You can't predict what people are going to do and stuff. So all of the CO2 is already there. Like, it's not.
Also, how many flights compared to how many cars?
I honestly think this is the dumbest article ever, because the whole
that
thing.
That is like an Onion article. You're right. That's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The bottom line is, think twice before you send any email.
No, but this I won't. I won't think twice before I send any email. You know what? These corporations can think twice about how big they want to build their server farms or whatever. It's not down to me. I don't give a fuck. Like, it's stupid. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
People should send more fucking emails, I think, because quite honestly, you need better communication, like, with people, and also you don't want people to get feeling like they're ghosted. Why not send a little thanks? Why not send a little lovely little message?
A little
saying,
emoji,
have a good morning.
A little animated emoji or something. Come on.
Well, apparently, though, actually, this was a problem in India, because there's this thing, this phenomenon in India. I think it was on WhatsApp or something, where they all send each other these like good morning messages, right? So you wake up in the morning and you have like a little picture of a man smiling, and he's like, "Good morning,"
he's got
and you
morning
send that
wood
to everyone.
Yeah, well, why not? That's nice. That's like a nice thing to do.
But the problem was, it was at this cultural thing where everyone would send it to everyone in their contacts.
Jesus,
right? And so it was like crushing the servers in the morning and like causing massive outages and stuff. And so apparently, like, they either had to make a special app for it in India so the good morning messages would go on their own app, or like I don't know how they solved it, or if they even have, but it's this weird kind of like cultural thing, which I kind of like the idea of, but it is actually causing bandwidth issues. And you know, it does feel unnecessary inverted commas, but also maybe it's good. Maybe it helps with their productivity and their energy, you know, gets people ready for the day. You don't know what you're doing. You can't crush fun ever. Otherwise, we'd never fucking do anything. Do you know what I mean? You can't, like, Christmas is the ultimate example of waste and materialism.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Complete frivolous purchasing of crap for people and wasting all the paper for wrapping paper. Christ. I mean, how many carbon trees get cut down for wrapping paper? No one's trying to ban that. I'm getting angry,
man.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're well within your rights to be angry about this one. I mean, has really ground up my gears. There's not even any teeth left on the gears for me here. Like,
honestly, no, but it ground my gears so bad that because it was such a trivial thing. It was almost like counter to what we should be doing, because I felt like emails, unnecessary emails, are a drop in the fucking ocean.
Also,
of the carbon
if you compare
that is being used.
The cost of unwanted letters, think about, they've got to be printed, then they end up in landfill or recycled. They've got to go.
Man, look at all the shit that they sell at like dollar stores and like Poundland and stuff. Like, all that shit. My God. Like, it.
Also, I read a thing about flights saying that, I mean, for one thing, I think it's 1% of people are responsible for almost all of these fucking flights. Most people take one flight, maybe two a year, tops.
Yeah.
And people are always having a go at people, holidaymakers, for taking one flight. You get these business people flying fucking everywhere for these meetings.
Yeah, like that George Clooney movie, remember? He was racking up the
airlines.
Up in
the air, right, exactly.
Fuck.
You don't need to take a fucking plane.
Yeah.
You don't need to take a fucking plane. Here's a meeting, do it online. The central message of that film was that we don't need to fly you out there to have this meeting. We can do it online. That was it.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
I actually,
if anything,
I agreed
I think that
with that
the
sentiment.
The pandemic has probably great for climate change. You know, I think there are a lot less cars, a lot less smog. It's been a great step in the right direction, and I'm sure we're all going to go back to where we were.
Yeah, it's also, but there's a lot of things that will change off the back of it where people have found or finally had the reason that they need to do cost savings that would have been massively unpopular before this, right? It's justified now, right? Like face-to-face doctor consultations. But probably even after COVID, there'll be a thing of the past. Guaranteed.
If you're doing a face-to-face doctor, if you're doing a digital doctor thing where he's looking at your rash, I don't want anyone else seeing that.
No, of course not. Of course not. Yeah, that's why you need ExpressVPN so that nobody can see your ball and dick rash.
You're weird.
Yeah, that only for your doctor's eyes only.
So no, seriously, like I know there's like this fallacy where you don't do something because you're like, well, this is worse. So I'm not, you know, I know that this is bad, but this is worse. But that's not it. Like, you know, I just don't think the emails thing is a big deal.
No, I don't think so either.
Feel free to send emails. Yeah. But there are lots of things that we can help with. You know, you should.
Yeah, but the problem is articles like this turn people off the idea that climate change is a problem that they can address. Because when you address something as dumb as, oh, don't send emails, it's like, all right, what the fuck can I do?
Yeah.
Like, you know, even emails you've got a problem with?
I feel like
it's the most energy-efficient way to communicate with someone long distance. It has to be.
I feel like emails are, like, the best thing you could possibly do for climate change.
Yeah, so especially if you're trying to get, like a consortium together of international minds. You're not going to be flying them all out to a conference or whatever. Do an email. You've got mail. Let's solve climate change together.
Emails even feel a bit out of date now
mail.
With video calling and all this stuff. Do you know what I mean? It feels a bit like email.
You know, the climate change thing and the flights, that was actually a thing. They had a big conference and the first speaker pointed out that all these people had actually flown to this
over
conference.
To talk about it. Yeah, when they were like, just done
you do
email.
Realize how much carbon this talk about climate change is creating. They're like, oh yeah, whoops.
Crazy.
We should communicate with smoke signals. No, the smoke signals are releasing carbon into the atmosphere. Very well, then a tin can and a string? No, do you know how much energy string causes? When you create string, it's as much as 5 million flights to Hawaii every year. Oh, what about the tin cans?
Oh my God.
No, the tin cans. It's like, well, all right. It has to be face-to-face and we must walk barefoot to the meeting. Like, yes, obviously we still need to fucking send emails.
Don't trim your beards because that uses electricity, which is generated by coal. So you must let your beards grow long and free.
That beard hair enters the environment. There is beard hair in 99% of living creatures on the earth right now. It never dissolves. The beard hair is stuck inside a shrimp at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. And when you eat the shrimp, you eat the beard hair, and then the beard hair is in you.
On that delightful note, I got to bounce. So,
all right.
God bless.
Thank you, Sips.
Thank you very much for another podcast, boys. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, I got a question for you, Sipsy, before we go.
Yeah.
On Monday, you and me are doing stocking stuffers, which sounds dirty.
Yeah.
It's you and me from 11 till 2. What are we doing?
I don't know.
What do you want to do?
I'll leave it up to you.
You're playing Prison
Surprise
Architect.
Surprise me.
Oh, okay. All right. We're playing Hey,
yeah.
Here's a hot idea. Let's play some Prison Architect because that's in the bundle.
Hey, what a great idea. Is it
and
in
that's
the bundle?
A bad motherfucker.
Is,
I love that game.
Oh, perfect. Let us do that then.
Okay, homie.
All right.
All right. See you next week, everyone. Yeah. Thank you. Jingle Jam's happening.
Bye.
If you didn't know, there's probably, by the time this podcast goes out, you've got just enough time, if there's any left, to get yourself a bundle.
Yeah.
You do and you will.
It's a good one.
Should.
It's a good one this year.
Jinglejam.tiltify.com. Jinglejam.tiltify.com. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye
everybody. Bye. See you later. Bye.